Genesis met a couple of weeks ago and stuck with me because she had some very good words. She and Elsa that Elrita could have been doing, could have been giving great work, and I've been enjoying it. But she said something that stood out to me to stay with me, and she says, you have to always put yourself in a position where God can bless you. You know, you, that meant a lot to me. That's a huge statement. You have to put yourself in a position, or keep yourself in a position where God can bless you. Think about that for a moment. You gotta always be positioned in God. You can't be, can't have unforgiven sins, because that takes you out of fellowship with God. And I don't want to say takes you out of fellowship, because but in order to come before God and make a request, you have to first establish a reconciliation. It doesn't, and don't misunderstand me when I say that each time you're wrong or do something wrong, you're not saved, because you are. If it was a matter of each time we did something that was contrary to God or something God didn't like, that we were no longer saved, then I'm pretty sure that most of us would not be saved today. His grace and His mercy keeps us from many things that not only have we not asked Him to forgive us of, some of them we haven't even come to terms with the point that it's wrong before God. There's much about us that we haven't even, the Spirit hasn't even convinced us that we need to allow God to change in us. And so by the grace of God, and you know, my analogy about being in the house, by the grace of God, as long as you don't do some of the things to get you kicked out, then you stay in fellowship with God, but you don't grow. Amen. The problem is you don't grow, and you don't produce fruit. Not only fruit in the matter of saving people, but your life itself is not as fruitful. Fruitful in joy, fruitful in peace, fruitful in, you know, satisfaction, fruitful in obtaining things that you like. Your life is not as full as it could be if you really allow the righteousness, peace, and joy that the Holy Ghost gives, because instead of that, you hold on to what you hold dear, and the Spirit can't convince you to change. And so it's not enough for God to say, you know, you're not saved. It is enough for God to say that you are in the second grade instead of the seventh grade. It is enough for Him to say that you're not a college graduate in God yet, but you are still His. So I was listening to Minister Smith, and she was teaching, and her lesson was about, you know, whether or not you are thriving, surviving, thriving, or sinking. Yeah. And she said you have to put yourself in a position, and the Bible talks about this all the time. When He talks about us being overcomers, and Jesus told them in one place, and we're going to go to that in Matthew the 28th chapter, I think it is, by his glasses. And I'm going to go to a couple of scriptures tonight. I'm going to go to Matthew the 28th chapter, I think it is, 27 to 28th chapter. And the other one is Matthew 25 and verse 1. And I would ask someone to keep their fingers on that, so if I forget what other scripture I said I was going to, you can remind me of it. But I want to go to the Matthew, the 28th chapter, first of all. And I'm still right back where I was. I'm sorry, it's not Matthew 28, it's probably Matthew 26. It is, yeah. And verse number 41. Verse 41, and most of us are here tonight, if you haven't read the 26th chapter of Matthew, then that's your assignment, read it, because it's Jesus in the garden after the Last Supper, and it's before he's tried and goes to the cross. But tonight I just want to look at verse 41. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I read in the New Living Translation, it says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, so that things won't overwhelm you. For the spirit is always willing to keep you afloat, you know, to keep you going in the right direction, to keep you being all right. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He corrects us and he reproves us, and he doesn't give us correction. He doesn't tell us that we're wrong without showing us what is right. If you're someone who always would be, the next time you get ready to criticize someone, before you criticize them, think to yourself, now, what is right then? If I'm going to say that what you're doing is not right, what is right?
Yes, amen.
So that when you tell me that I'm doing something that I ought not do, then tell me, what should I do then?
Yes.
And if you have no idea what I should do, I'm not going to say don't stop somebody if you don't know what they should do, because it could be critical and you need to stop them. You don't know what to do. You just know they need to stop doing that. But be honest about it and say, well, you know, I'm not exactly what you should do, but we probably need to look into it. You probably ought not do that. Just don't say, hey, that's horrible. You know, if you're not if you're not good with fashions, you know, don't tell somebody, you know, you're not matching. Well, what should match? He says to them, watch and pray that you will not give into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. In other words, the flesh doesn't always know what to do.
Yes.
And he says to them, if I go back to Minister Smith's sermon the other night, he says, how do I keep myself in a position so that whatever comes in life, whatever I run into, I'll be able to make it through? Because I need to go back with Jesus when he comes, or if I should die tonight, I need to wake up in heaven. How do I keep myself in that position? He says two things, watch and pray. The praying part means that we're communing with God. The watching part is not just watching with the eyes. I'll watch everything up in here. No, he also means watching the spirit.
Yes.
Have some spiritual discernment, and you cannot have spiritual discernment without the word of God. You won't know that it's the Spirit unless you know the Word of God. When the Holy Ghost comes, and his discernment is always according to the Word of God. Now listen to people say that. I got discernment. Well, then tell me where in the Bible it says, it shows, points me to what you're discerning. And if the Spirit gives you discernment, he also, here again, says to you what you need to do. He doesn't say what you're doing is silly without saying you would be wiser to do this. He always does, because he knows what to do. He's not even like us. I might say, well, that don't look right, but you know, what is right? Well, I don't know. But the Holy Ghost knows what is right.
That's right, yes.
So when he says watch and pray, he's not just saying watch the Romans or watch the temple or watch those people. He's saying look toward God, watch. You know, see what's going on around you. And he has by now taught the disciples about discernment. They're there when he says to Nicodemus, you can tell if the wind's blowing, it's going to storm, if the clouds come up, whatever. He says, tell Nicodemus, he says, well, why is it you can't discern anything in the spirit? So the disciples are familiar with spiritual discernment. They know, they were there, you know, when he, with the man by the pool of Bethesda, they weren't there when he talked to the woman at the well, but they know, they heard the story. He told it, they told it, so they know what discernment is in the spirit. They know how to be found in the spirit. So he tells them, he says, watch and pray. In other words, for all the things we go through and how we do things, keep yourself. You know, he says, how do you stay out of temptation to do things that you ought not do? Whether they be great, big, heinous things that create a scandal, or whether they just be small things in small places, because God is watching you all the time. And to God, it doesn't matter whether you go in Walmart and steal a pen, or whether you go to Brinks and rob a bank. That's the step.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't matter. If God doesn't measure the magnitude. If you take something that belongs to you, you are a thief.
That's
T-H-E-I-F.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so in God, you know, the little secret things we do and maintain in our heart, and I am convinced this is what keeps us, including me, from having more power. It's where our minds run to that other people don't see.
Yes, yeah.
But God does.
Yes.
And so you take yourself out of a position with God where you could have more power or more gifts, or you could have greater word or greater revelation. You You remove yourself from where you could really be blessed. And it goes on into the natural. You sense different things in the world will cause you to have different responses than God. Sometimes you're not in a position to be a millionaire. You get exalted over $50,000. You say, well, I don't need the Lord. No, but you become a different person to the other saints, and you know, and if your name is on a program someplace, you get exalted over that to the point that no one. You get exalted over a title or over a position, and the way about you changes so that your light is not as light as it should be. And so God says, well, I can't give you that, or I can't bless you in that, because something about you doesn't fit the profile. Yeah. You're not there. When it comes to material blessings, you have to stay in prayer. And God has to get you to a point where he can bless you without you leaving him. And it's not just leaving him. But everybody says, well, you know, you can't have this because you leave God. No, it's not just you leaving God. Some blessings stop you from shining like you're supposed to shine. Right. You get to a certain point, you rise up so high, you are a rising star in God, and you are winning souls, and you're doing all this, and then you get to a certain point, and you start coasting on your title and coasting on your name, and you're no longer producing like you were. You take yourself out of position where God can use you like he was using you before. You take yourself out of position where God can bless you like he was blessing you before. So he says, we need to always pray and ask God what to do. And if you want to know what that's all about, then you have to go read James. And I'm not going there tonight, but that's where the wisdom comes from. And that's where the knowledge comes from. He says you need to pray that when you go through trials, whatever they are, whether they're trials of success or trials of failure, however they come, whether it's for wanting something and needing something, or whether you have excess, whatever the trial is, it's whether somebody's tearing you down or puffing you up.
Yes.
Some things puff people up, and then they can't be used anymore. You can get to a certain title, certain rank, certain anything, certain position, and now all of a sudden, people can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
God can't reach you anymore, can't see you anymore. You've arrived, and this is why Paul makes the statement, I have not apprehended. Paul says, I understand this about myself, that all the blessings and things I have by the grace of God. I know, Paul says to them, I know that I don't know it all. The power didn't come from me. The miracles aren't mine. He says, I understand that. I haven't reached a point. He said, I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to be glorified just like Jesus. He says, but I'm not there yet. He says, I don't know all things yet. He makes this point. And this is what he knows about himself. But he says, but I also know how much I've changed. Can you recount how much you have changed?
Yeah.
Can you look at yourself and see how much you have changed?
Yeah.
When I look at myself, I can see how much I have changed. The Lord is, from just utter stupidity and ignorance and whatever, and you name it. And God, you know what, I've gone through the arrogance, and I've gone through the narcissism, and I've gone through the, yes, all that. So, well, I don't know how you go through all that. You're going through it. That's the whole point. You don't get it.
Yes, yes.
You are that arrogant. You do have all those problems. You just don't see it about you.
Yeah.
You can see, your meekness is arrogance, because you like to brag about that. I'm so meek. And so he says in this, you need to keep yourself, and then we need a blessing from God. We need to be able to pray for the sick and have them healed.
Yes.
I need to be somebody in God that when I pray and ask God to heal someone, I need to be positioned in God or close enough to God or reconciled to God enough so that he will hear me and honor my prayer.
Yeah, yes, yes.
When I'm going through a difficult situation, I need to be in a position with God. And one of the things you do to get you in a position, the first thing you do when you pray is ask God to forgive you of all your sins. You're putting yourself in a position to be heard.
Yes.
I'm coming to you, number one, in the name of Jesus. I'm putting myself in a position to be heard.
Yes.
Because I'm coming in Jesus' name and all my blessings in the heavenly places. The Spirit will carry my prayers and my requests nowhere unless it is under and by and through the authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I'm coming right. That's why I can't just say, God, I need your help down here. No, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I need a blessing.
Yes.
I know sometimes, you know, God will hear you, you know, because it's written so much, we say so much. I know sometimes we'll say, Lord, please help me. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to go through the whole prayer because it's understood by God. But we have to be Jesus praying people.
Yes.
You got to be a Jesus praying person. Mm-hmm. And then we ask the Lord, the next thing we ask Him to do is, we ask Him, Lord, wash me and cleanse me of all my sins. And you can't be the sort of person who feels, I don't got to pray that day because I ain't sinned today. Well, all right. But I need, this is why when Jesus goes to the garden,
yes.
Don't you know that you're talking about the Son of God,
yes.
who knows the way He has to go and knows how it's going to go,
mm-hmm.
and yet He goes to the garden,
yes.
and prays one final time,
yes.
for God to get Him to the place that He's supposed to be,
yeah.
even though He knows that God is going to do this and get Him through. That's why when He just read and raised Lazarus from dead, He says, I prayed for their sakes because I know God always hears me. I just need them to know that it's God who's raising him from the dead.
Yes.
And you have to, and I love Chandra, you know, that some people preach sometimes, not just Chandra, it's just your daughter. It's the Holy Ghost.
It's the Holy Ghost, yes.
Because I've heard her preach many times, and many things she has, but this really stuck out to me. You have to put yourself in a position.
Yes.
Have to keep yourself in a position,
yes.
where God can answer your prayer, where God can bless you. And Jesus is telling the disciples, you need to pray,
yes.
so that you won't be overcome by what is getting ready to happen. You're going to need the Lord. You need to keep yourself in a position,
yes.
so that when difficult times come, this is why people do things that I got to get away from saying dumb stuff because that. This is why people do things that they ought not do. It's why they behave unseemly when they ought not. It's why when difficult times come, they don't do the right thing. And it's why when issues should be settled or when people should have a matter, you know, out there about whatever it is, it's why they would rather argue and fight, do whatever they do, call somebody, get on the phone, cry, do everything. This is why they can't settle down and allow the Lord to work things out.
Yes.
It's why they can't hear God saying who they need to call. You know, God will direct you on who to call. He'll say, call such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Call them.
Yes.
Call this person. The Spirit will say, I ain't calling him no more. And the Lord will say, well, then that's your answer. You know, do this, do that. It's allowing the Lord to bless you. It's obeying God. And it's everything. And you say, well, I don't see it in the Bible. Well, how do you think Moses got the word from God? He was where God needed him to be at the time.
Yes.
And when he came down and they were down there doing things they had no business doing, in order to get those commandments again, he had to go back to the place where God gave him the commandments to start with. Abraham, when he came out of the Pharaoh's...
Out of Egypt.
He went back to Bethel, where God had blessed him before. It's always a matter of getting back to where you heard from God before.
Yeah.
And in life, if God answered your last prayer because you were praying and fasting, and now you need Him again, you probably need to go back to praying and fasting again, mm-hmm. because that's where He met you the last time.
Yes, yes.
You want to go back to the last place you saw God. However you need to be in position. You got to get back to the highway. And so Jesus told the disciples, He says, watch and pray. He says, you need to be concerned with what's going on. And you need to be aware of the Spirit and let Him lead you and guide you. And they learned that by the time before the day of Pentecost, because that's exactly what they were doing. After Jesus ascends to heaven, they get in one place and they say, hey, we're going to be right here until we get an answer.
Yes.
And so I'm encouraging you. I want to go to this last scripture tonight. It's in Matthew also. It's in Matthew, 18. Chapter 18. Is that what I said?
25. You said 25.
Did I say 25 before? Okay, then that's where I need to go to. Matthew 25, she says. All right. And one. See, that's the one.
Yeah, 25.
Yeah, that's it.
One,
that's and then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. And you've heard this before. And this is the thing about hearing the scripture before you even get there. You say, well, I've heard this before. I heard a lot of scriptures before, but the Lord blesses me in them. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like in the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. And in these wedding parties in those days, we don't have them like that anymore, but this is the way they did them in the Jewish weddings. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. Five were wise and five were foolish. And already, we've already characterized ourselves as being which ones?
Wise.
Wise. We've already said, well, I'm right. Yeah, I'm not one of the foolish ones. We've already done that, haven't we?
Yes.
But the wise took all in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you're not. Watch therefore, there's the word again, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And I want to make the point that when in this parable he's talking about the oil doesn't represent the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the bridegroom doesn't represent Jesus in that regard. They are people on the earth. But his point is that you need to be ready.
Yes.
If you want the Lord to bless you, it was a blessing being in the wedding feast. And they were going to do whatever, you know, they were going to have a joyous moment. And everybody wanted to go, just like tonight. Everybody wants a blessing. You say, well, I'm not big into weddings and parties. No, but everybody's big into blessings. I don't know anybody who says, well, I don't like to be blessed. Is there anybody out here in Zoom land, you don't like to be blessed? You don't need a blessing? I'm fine. I don't need a blessing. Well, I'm not. I always need a blessing. As long as I'm on earth, there's something else God can do for me. As long as I'm on earth, I always need what God has. I always need help from God. On my best day, I could use God's help.
Yes.
A whole lot of it. On a day when things just seem to really be working out, they can even more enhanced by God. It's the best that can happen to me. So when when they were going in, this was a big honor to be a part of this wedding feast. And you know, there were some of them who were, and this is the reason why I know it fits, because he says down here, watch. Mm-hmm. The 10 bridesmaids that had all, they were watching. They didn't know when things would start, but they were determined that when they start, I'm going to be ready.
Yes, yes.
And they made sure that they had what they needed to have. So that whenever the blessing came, and I'm reminded of Elisha and Elijah, and when Elisha sees all the miracles that Elijah is doing, and he asks Elijah, he says, I want a double portion of what you have. And it isn't that he's greedy. He says, it's so great and so tremendous what you're doing. I just love to do as much of it as possible. I wish I could do twice as much.
Twice as much, yes.
I'm not competing with you. And I'm not envious about it. It's just that what you got is just so great.
Yeah, yes.
And what you're doing is so fantastic. I'm not trying to outdo you. That's not even on my mind.
Yeah.
But it's so good. You know, what God has given you is so good. I just would like to have twice as much, and just a double portion. And Elijah says to Elisha, he says, if you are there when the Holy Ghost comes to take me back to heaven when I'm caught up, if you are there when that happens, there will be the power of the Holy Ghost. There will be enough power for you to get what you want.
Yeah.
He says it isn't given to everybody. He says it's a hard thing. It's not hard for God. His point was, this is not something that's available to everyone.
Yes.
But if you and if you wonder about that, you got to remember, don't you, Chandra? Yes, you do, Elder Smith. Yes, you do, Elder Reed. You got to remember, Elijah is on his way, and he's going to meet God, and he's going through these cities. And I've got to think to myself that anyone who wanted to go with him could have come.
Yeah.
And anyone who was there when he went up could have been blessed.
Yeah.
If they had been in a position to be. And Elisha, because he says to Elijah, he says, you sure you want to go this far? And he keeps asking him,
yes.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yes.
Sure you want this mantle? I pray one day between now and the time I see Jesus that I get a chance at some point in time to ask the next person who wants to be a pastor, are you sure you want to be a pastor?
Yes.
Without them thinking, he's trying to cure my anointing. He's trying to keep me from it. No. The question needs to be asked.
Yes. Yes.
Are you sure you want to be a pastor?
Yes.
Are you sure you want to be a district superintendent? Are you sure you want to be a bishop? Not just, I'm going to make you a hell. I'm so happy. Hey, so-and-so's going to be a bishop. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. No, the question needs to be asked. Are you sure?
Yes.
This is what you want?
Yes.
Because if you're going to be a pastor, then you've got to go through all these cities just like I'm going through.
Yes.
All these trials, just like I'm going through. You're going to be a pastor. You got to go through all these. Now you can always slap the name on and put up a shingle.
Yes.
But if you're going to be one in God,
yes.
And Elijah asked Elijah, he says, maybe you need to go back. He says, because you know, this is a special way.
Yes.
And Elijah said, no, I'm gonna go with you. Mm-hmm. And he's basically saying to him, are you sure this is what you want? And he follows him all the way. And along the way, there are people who are running their mouth and flapping their lips and talking and doing all kinds of this. And go up all bald heads, you know, and talking about him and doing everything else. And even they say to Elisha, S-H-A, they say to him, do you know that your master's claiming that he's going back with Jesus today?
Yeah.
Do you know he's claiming that he's going back with the Lord today? Do you know he's claiming he's going to get caught up today? And Elisha has to put up with that.
Yes, yeah.
Because they're talking about his teacher, his leader.
Yes.
And so Elijah, he's not hard on him. He doesn't hear me. You know, which way are you going? He says, you know. But Elisha, in order for him to get the anointing that Elijah has, it's just not the mantle just falling on him. The man, you know, Elijah goes up, drops his coat, and the mantle falls on him. It's not just that. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. The mantle itself has no power. It represents the power. But the power is from God. And so Elijah says, when I am caught up, my Lord, if you're someplace to watch somebody catch up, there's enough Holy Ghost there to anoint every one of us.
Yes.
If you're someplace and you're watching fire come, you know, chariots of fire come down from heaven, my God, you ought to have faith that will never fail.
Yes.
If you're someplace and you watch someone that you know go into heaven, how can you ever deny anything of God?
Yes.
Of course you're going to have power.
Yes.
Of course you're going to have an anointing.
Yes.
So he goes back to the Jordan and he's ready. And he takes the mantle just like Elijah, and he's not playing around. He says, where is the God of Israel? And in other words, he said, are you with me like you were with Elijah? Because I'm here. And when he smites the Jordan, it backs up, and God is saying to him, I am.
I am, yes, I'm with you. Yes.
I am.
Yes.
Put himself, every time Elijah went through a city, he asked him each time, are you sure this is what you want to do? And he put himself in a position so that when God moved, you need to keep yourself in a position so that when God moves, you need to be in a place. So, you know, so when God moves, it wasn't a popular place. It didn't have all the students and prophets and all these people who were all deep. They just figured he was going to the other side of the mountain. And even when he didn't come back, they still didn't think he went to heaven. They didn't believe Elijah. And finally, Elijah just told him, well, if you think he's just on the other side of the mountain, go there and find him. They still didn't want to believe it.
Yes.
So then these virgins, these brides, bridesmaids, these maidens, handmaidens, Five of them made sure. Jesus told disciples, watch and pray. You need to make sure, whatever your prayers, it's not just the minute and the hour that Jesus is coming back, because you surely need to be ready for that. But for the other blessings that you need, you need to keep your heart pure. Keep your mind right. Make your calling and election sure. Strengthen your faith. Be where the blessing is. Obey God. Gather together among the saints of God. Put your minds together with the saints of God. It's another thing I'm bringing as we're coming into the jurisdictional meeting, you know, unity in the spirit and the bond of peace, and people are preaching it everywhere. It's, all of a sudden, since I do it, it seems like it's a very popular scripture, but everybody keeps leaving out the part about being unity in the spirit. I keep hearing unity in the bond of peace. I keep hearing the unity of the faith. But everybody keeps avoiding saying being in the unity of the spirit, because the only way we're in unity in the spirit is if all of us have the spirit's mind.
Yes.
And you don't have that as long as you won't obey the spirit. As long as you don't get in there in Ephesians and all that, clear out all that dirt that you have in your mind. Envy, wrath, strife, and all that. Variance. Some, you know, you, if you're the sort of person who would rather figure out how to argue with somebody rather than understand them, then you keep yourself out of a position for God to really bless.
Yes.
You know, because you're always not in agreement.
Yes.
You rather not agree.
Yes. Yeah.
You're always trying to figure out how not to agree.
Yes.
And in order for him to move, especially in a church, we have to be in agreement. We have to practice agreeing with one another.
Yes.
And it doesn't just come naturally, because we are born in enmity with God.
Yes.
It's something the Holy Ghost has to give us. It's one thing to talk about being on one accord.
Yes.
It's another thing to be on one accord.
Yes.
And you can't be on one accord if you're a discordant sort of person.
Yes, that's right.
Six things does God hate. Yea, and the seventh one is an abomination to them. They that sow discord among the brothers. Discordant people.
Yes.
People who always come up on why they can't agree.
Yes.
You, whatever you say, they're already racing to see what about what you're saying is not right.
Yes.
They are never looking to see, to understanding it. You take yourself, we take ourselves, we, not you, we.
Mm-hmm.
Take ourselves when we do little things, we, all of us. When we don't allow ourselves to be in a position where we can have the multitudinous blessings, the rain to fall and just really, 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 really bless us.
Yes.
Really bless us. And I don't worry about people in other places that look like they're always being blessed and always this is always there and whatever. I know what the Bible says. One of the biggest things that the devil does is they used to try and do it with Jesus. The devil likes to make it look like someone is just really, really powerful and really got all this and got all that. But God knows, because he's the one. When these other five virgins show up after they get the oil and go knock, by the time they get to the bridegroom, says, you're no longer invited.
Yeah.
Says, you're no longer invited. You weren't ready. You're no longer invited. The doors are closed.
Yes.
So, well, that wasn't fair. Yes, it was. So, well, how is that fair? They all knew to be ready.
Yeah.
Just like when Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
And they're not ready. That wasn't fair. Yes, they do, because we all know.
No. Yes.
To be ready.
To be ready, yes.
We all know.
Yes.
To be ready. If they didn't know they needed all, it would be unfair. But they all knew
that
they needed all.
Yeah.
If they didn't know to be right, it would be unfair of God. But they knew. Lamps weren't gonna burn on the air.
Yeah.
And they all and they could count, well, I'll be all right, because you know he's gonna show up in daylight. No, they had to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be ready to be blessed. I talked about it before. The devil, that's why the devil likes to show up on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, all of us. It's not the one of us. It's all of us. If we allow it. Until you grow to the point where you refuse to allow him to do it.
Yes.
Until you grow to the point where you allow, where you refuse to allow the devil to stop you. Mm-hmm. Sunday mornings at church times, the devil will show up. He'll make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make you angry. He'll do whatever he can to disrupt your flow. Because he wants you not to be able to commune with God.
Yes.
He'll make you feel tired. Sunday morning sometimes seems like I can't hardly open my eyes. Any other time, ain't no problem. Here it is Sunday morning. Seems like I just, you know, it's time to get up and go to go pray before church. And I'm just dragging. I keep hitting the snooze button. Well, I don't have a snooze button, but I keep laying it five more minutes. And finally the Spirit said, why don't you just get on up? And, you know, it's what are you waiting for? It's the time, it's when people, when problems set in. And I'm not saying people's problems aren't real. They are. But you need to grow strong enough in God so that God stops them from happening.
Yes.
I'm going to say this and hopefully you'll understand. The reason why I keep going through the scripture of Joshua standing before the Lord and the devil setting him to resist him, because it's such a revelation to me that everything we get ready to do in God, the devil stands there to resist you.
Yes, he does.
It's not just sometimes. Yes. Oh, and then the devil came in. He never left.
No, that's right.
He's always around. Yes. When it's time to do something for God. It's just that when you're not doing anything for God, he doesn't have to do anything. You're not coming to church, the devil doesn't have to bother you.
That's right, yeah.
You get up and go on about your business. You're not coming anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
It isn't, you know, here it is Sunday morning, and you planned on coming all week.
Mm-hmm.
Could have come during the week, but you didn't. But you plan on coming Sunday morning. Now you get up on Sunday morning. Now you have a flat tire.
Yeah.
Well, change the tire and come. What would you do if you had to go to work? Would you not go to work because you have a flat tire? No. You either change the tire or you find another way to get there. You would do something. So, well, I'd be late, so I decided not to come. Well, the next time, call you. Just do the same thing with your job. So where were you to have a flat tire? Why didn't you come anyway? Well, I knew I'd be late, so there's no need for me coming. All during the week, everything works. But here it is Sunday morning, and now someone needs you to do something. Why today? Why not Saturday? Why not Thursday evening? Why on Tuesday? Why is that? Well, because the devil is trying to keep you from being able to glorify God. Well, who beats it? The people who glorify him anyway.
Yes.
The people who make up their mind, well, it's not going to stop me in God anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on in God no matter what. So what do I need to do if my job says I have to work on Friday night? Just not go. No, go. You have to go.
Yes.
But you also have to tell God, Lord, don't let this keep happening.
Yes.
God has to see a desire. Chandra will get a project at the last minute. And I understand that. That's the job that she has. It's feast or famine. That's the way it works.
Yes.
Some schedules are just scheduled for the weekend. Not talking about you.
Yes.
I'm talking about the people who allow things that don't necessarily have to be in their life to come in when they're supposed to do things for God.
Yes.
My God, how many Sundays did I work when I was in the military? Because we had alerts and we had this and we had all that stuff. Hey, that's life. But aside from those, just the things you allow to come. So you it has to always be. You got to have... trying to finish this. It's the mind that I have. That's why Solomon could pray a prayer if they can't come to the temple.
Yes.
But if they'll have the mind to look towards
the temple.
It's the mind I have.
Yes.
It's the difference between I'm not able to come to church because I really am sick.
Yes.
I'm not able to come because I really do have to work. And the mind that I'm not able to come and it doesn't bother me. Because when it starts to bother you not being able to worship God, God will make a way.
Yes.
And the Lord will step in.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, people get sick on Sunday morning,
yes,
have to go to emergency on Sunday morning.
Yes.
I'm not saying, oh, you come on in the church and die. Don't die up in here. but you're supposed to have the mind to say, I don't like this.
Yes.
I need to be in the house of God. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. And ask God, Lord, don't let this keep happening to me, because I want to be where you are.
Yes.
Like the song, I want to be where you are.
Yes.
You got to, I mean, those songs, you know, I listen to them these days, and I like the modern music because they are just flat out right with it. I really want to be where you are.
Yes.
And you need to make up your mind, Lord, I can't come because of the job or this or that or whatever it is, but I want to be. Yes, I want to be in a position where I can be blessed. And when I can't come, I'm missing it.
Yes, yes.
It can't just become a routine or a habit, you know, where, I stop asking people where they are. I ain't going to be here Sunday. Okay. You know,
yes.
I ain't going to be here Sunday. Okay. So if you don't care, I do care. I care more than you do.
Yes.
But you've grown.
Yeah.
And if God isn't more important to you than that, then there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
There are some things that we have to fight the devil on ourselves.
Yeah.
No one can fight him on for you. Some blessings you have to get from God.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself in a position.
Yeah.
These five virgins, they didn't do what they needed to do to be able to go in when the bridegroom came.
Yeah.
They weren't where they should be. They didn't have what they should have. Peter didn't pray like he should have prayed. And when the time came that he should have stood, he did not.
Yes.
He was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
He repented and got himself in position. Judas did not. He killed himself so that he could never put himself in a position.
Yeah.
To ask God to forgive him. Once he killed himself, he could never position himself again to be saved.
Yes.
Once you get far enough away from God, it is hard to get yourself back into a position where you can do anything in God. You're going through some trials, everybody's standing. You're going through some trials and some difficult times. When you come to God tonight, ask him, say, Lord, what do I need to be and what do I need to do? Because I really need the prayers answered. And then promise God promise God that you'll deny yourself and give yourself away, as the song says, and not let yourself stand in the way of being what God would have you be. The Lord will say, well, if Chandra wants to be forgiven, if Chandra wants to be blessed, Lord, I really want you to bless me. And the Lord will bring to your heart of how you treated Elder Smith, Elder Reed, and he'll say, well, okay. And then the Lord will say, and then you'll say, well, you know what I need to do? I need to go get these things right with Elder Reed. And then come back. Because Jesus told one time, didn't he? It's always the word of God.
That's right.
He said, you need to leave your offering at the altar. Go get yourself together. And then come back and offer it. Because he says, as long as you're offering it and you're not right otherwise, he says it has no significance. You need to fix that first. And the Holy Ghost always comes and says, you need to fix this first. And if it's not fixable at the moment, then he says, well, make a vow. And then stick to it. Stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord will bless. There's some things you need to do. You want more power tonight? Who wants more power tonight?
I do.
Well, always remember, the only person who stands in the way of your power is you.
Yes.
The only person who hinders you from having gifts is you. The only person who stands in the way of your power is you.
Yes.
Just you and you alone.
Because
no one else can stop God from giving you power. I don't care who they are.
Right.
No one else can stop. Not even the devil can't stop God from giving you power.
Right.
And nobody on earth can stop God from giving you power. Just you.
Yes.
You're the only one who can stop God from blessing you. People cannot stop you from being blessed. Jesus defeated Satan at Calvary.
Yes.
The only person that stands in the way of your blessing is you. It's you.
Yes.
And you can't pray over changing. You can't pray enough to avoid changing you.
Yes.
Pray all you want, fast all you want. Israel did it for 70 years. If you won't change, then your prayers are in vain.
Yes.
It's all about that.
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your great grace. And Lord, we ask you to wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, for a move of your spirit and of your power. Lord, anoint us. Lord, let the power of the Most High, Lord, fall upon us, O God. Lord, in every way, Lord, fall upon our minds, our emotions, our affections, oh God. Lord, come in, oh God. Lord, we want your spirit. We need your spirit. Come in.
Amen.
Work a change in us, Lord, so that it can be seen, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, cause our light to shine brightly, oh Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, change our minds so we're always in position, Lord, to receive what you're giving. Lord, change us, Lord, so we're always in a position so that when we pray, Lord, you will hear. Lord, move in us and change us in such a way, Lord, that when we call upon you, you will say, here I am. In the name of Jesus. Lord, change us and move so that when we pray a prayer for the sick, they'll be healed, oh God. Lord, when we pray against evil spirits, Lord, they will have to go. Because the spirit and power of the Most High will drive them far from us. Lord, I pray, Lord. Lord, change us. Purge us and cleanse us, oh God. Cleanse our minds and our way, oh God. Take away every habit, everything that we do that's not like you, Lord, that we're always in a position, Lord, that you can move in us, oh Lord. Lord, we're always in a place, oh God, where we can call upon you and you will hear, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, send your power. Anoint us tonight in the word of God, in the power of God. Lord, send your power, oh God. Lord, upon every one of us. Lord, send your power. Lord, we desire your spirit, oh God. Lord, move in us by your spirit. Lord, give us the power of the Holy Ghost. Anoint us to do the will and the work of God. Lord, give us the right things to say. And Lord, the move of the spirit to go along with the word of God. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, heal the sick tonight. Lord, touch them with the finger of God. Drive out every sickness and every disease. And Lord, drive out every evil spirit that brings sickness and disease. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, it be cast far from them. Go out in the name of Jesus and not return. Lord, heal them now, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name. According to the stripes he bore on his back, oh God. Lord, heal tonight. Stretch forth thy hand, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, and remove the cancer from all these people. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch them with the finger of God like you touched the lepers. Cleanse them, oh God. Cleanse them, oh God. Cleanse them, oh God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, move, oh Lord. For your glory and for your honor, oh God. Oh, in Jesus' name. Lord, let them go.
Yes.
Let Elder Trionne Thompson go to the doctor and they say, we don't need to do anything.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, let Elder Sewell, Lord, go to the doctors and they say, it's a miracle. We don't need to do anything.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, Elder Hudson and all of them, Lord, give them a miracle by the miracle working power of God. Lord, let it be so tonight. Lord, that us, we three, four people in Promise Church are in a position. Lord, where we can call upon you tonight and you will hear and say, here I am. Lord, let it be, Lord, touch our hearts. Look at our hearts tonight and let us be in agreement and in a position. Lord, where you will hear us tonight, Lord, when we cry out to all those who need to be healed. Lord, make a way tonight. Lord, for all those that will put them in a position in you where you can heal them and deliver them and bring them out, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, take away those stubborn minds. Lord, that keep them out of position. Take away those arrogant minds that keep them out of position. Lord, take away all those people who keep saying, I know, I know, I know. Lord, have them surrender so they'll be in a position. Lord, where you can move, oh God. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch Timaeus. Lord, heal him, oh God, and give him rhythm and anoint him in Jesus' name. Come here, let me lay hands on you real quick. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch him in Jesus' name. Touch him in his mind, his body, and anoint him and fill him with the Holy Ghost. Lord, and increase his memory in these works. And Lord, make him great in the sight of God. And Lord, make room for him in the house of God, in the way of God, in the ministry of God. Lord, make room for him and touch his heart and his spirit at a young age. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless all the youth in Gulf Coast. Bless all the pastors in their churches. Lord, I pray, Lord, give us a mind to be where God can bless us.
Yes,
Lord, we'll glorify your name. We'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, bless India tonight.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Lord, bless Elder Tiangela Rogers tonight. Move on her behalf in Jesus' name. All those who are up tonight, Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll bless Elder Jenkins tonight. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of Jesus. Who do I have down here on the phone? Can you read that? All right. All right. Who's that down there? Let me read this. Okay, this is phone number. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not sure who you are, but bless you anyway. Pray, Lord, just bless you real good. Remember the Gamble family night. Remember Sister Shannon. Says she has COVID. Lord, deliver us from COVID. Keep us from it. I thank you for keeping me from it. And make a way in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the people of God say amen. Are you raising your hand for prayer?
Let's pray for his father.
Oh, praise the Lord. Father, I pray tonight. Lord, we bring before you, Lord, one Lord that was loved by you, is loved by you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, you continue to love Lord Jeffrey Cadogan. Lord, I pray, Lord, give him a mind to come back to the house of God and be in God. Lord, for a special blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, bless the man as his father.
Yes,
and keep him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let him love you once more. And Lord, love him once again.
Yes.
And Lord, let his house be blessed, Lord, with the things to be of God. Come again, and Lord, anything that would hinder him in God, Lord, drive it far from him.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.